He used to work the bed, but now he doesn't. So let's have a slumber party. Oh.
Hello, lovely slumber party listeners. It's your host, Tim Murray. And today we have such an exciting, such a fun interview for you with a recording artist, activist, artist-ivist, if you will. She was on the international tour of Rant, ever heard of it? And her TEDx talk on Black trans female empowerment is so brilliant. I'm not even kidding. I listened to it 3 times in the last week. Please welcome to the stage, Mila Jam.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Mila.
Hi, Slumber Kids.
Hi, Slumber Kids. How are you doing today? Big quarantine question.
Today and in this moment, I'm doing okay. I'm maintaining, I'm feeling proud and uplifted and excited to be able to be here to tell my stories and to have a conversation with you. It has been a very interesting week for me. I recently just lost an icon in the community, just to put it out there, Sir Ari Gold. Ari Gold, the first gay pop star, is a very, very, very close friend of mine, a mentor and an inspiration. And Ari, we love you. And it has been a very challenging weekend, but I see the silver lining and I'm happy to be doing what I do and I love best.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you so much for, putting Ari's name out into the world.
Yeah.
And we will continue to do so.
Trailblazer.
Trailblazer, truly. And there are so many queer people who don't get showcased enough. And Ari really did an amazing job of showcasing.
Also someone who just was unapologetic in his will to want to thrive as an out gay man in music, and Ari had been around doing pop music way before a lot of the, way before Lil Nas X and all of these other people that we see coming out and being out and proud. And he was doing it when people were not even having it, labels and companies would just be like, don't be out, kind of become the status quo, but he never did that. And it's important that he's a part of our queer history and he's a king in his own right.
He is a king in his own right. And how fucking cool and important that we get to continue to celebrate this huge monumental shift, I think, literally, I can remember 10 years ago, people saying to me, don't be out. Like, it was like a very common
thing. It's such a thing. It's weird.
Yeah. And now, we collectively as a queer community are changing that conversation.
And you never think that people will actually want to listen to your story or want to, eventually come around. You always kind of think that, they're never going to accept that or, this is never going to be okay. But kids, I'm telling you, stick to your guns and stay true to yourself. And you never know what can happen because evolution is real.
Evolution is real is right. Yeah. And it's like, of course we feel that way. We feel like, oh, no one wants to hear our stories because that's what we were taught growing up. But Mila and I are here to tell you young kids listening to this or old kids listening to this. Yeah. Think again.
or old kids, all of us kids got to listen to it. We got to all be inspired by it.
Yes. One of the main things I want to talk to you about was something that struck me so deeply in your TEDx talk about, specifically about a Black trans female joy. And I want to talk to you about joy in general, because that hit me I rewound it a couple of times and I was like, we rarely get to see queer people in media being joyous and having fun. And your music is such a wonderful representation of that. It's so joyous. It is pop and it has a message. Can you talk a little bit about your experience?
Feel like we as Black trans women, we have joyful moments. We are joy. We are full of love, full of hope and light and wonderful dreams and goals that we, aspirations that we want to achieve and acquire, because there's this blueprint of life out there that people are supposed to follow, but ours looks a little bit different sometimes because of where we come from and how we get into it. And so we rarely have comfort and support, but we are always supporting ourselves. And I also think that that joy sort of comes through, it's a little bit in tandem with the chosen family that we have around us, even like our sisters or our friends or the allies that we have that do uplift us, it's important for us to feel good. We shouldn't be feeling bad or compromised for the joy of celebrating our life, our femininity, our womanhood, our wonderful spirits, our energy. You know, I have a lot of close friends who have supported me since day one. They have known me before, prior to transitioning and after, and have never wavered. And I feel so lucky and so blessed to have that, because we are a family and we are enjoying each other's company. We celebrate, you know, when there's not a pandemic, we're like, we go out, we do things, we love on each other, you know, we gift to each other. And so this is a new time for us to celebrate not only trans joy, but queer joy, Black joy, brown joy, marginalized joy, because we're always told that we're not supposed to be enjoying ourselves. And I'm going to rewrite that narrative, because we need to enjoy ourselves, because we have one life to live and we need to make the best of it.
That is so brilliantly stated and beautiful. And yeah, everything that I've been watching of you, I'm just so honestly inspired, because speaking of rewriting your story, like, you have done such a beautiful job of that. I watched an interview where you were talking about the character that you used to do when you had all these subscribers on YouTube. And then,
yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about deciding to rewrite that story?
I created Brittany Houston. You know, there are people that still message me today. They'll DM me and they'll be like, Brittany? and sometimes I'll be like, used to be, it was in there somewhere. but I created Brittany because I always felt like, as a, you know, as someone in the community, one of our ways to people's hearts is to make them laugh. You know, I feel like we use our trauma to connect. The way we connect to people is to be funny and is to make them laugh. And I really thought that if I created this character, you know, I'm funny by nature, I'm silly, and I just love, like, I'm a jokester and I love that kind of energy. And, you know, it happened while I was on tour with Rent, and we were like going from hotel to hotel and town to town. And I ended up performing at venues as Brittany Houston, this like combination of two pop icons, Britney Spears and Whitney Houston. And that's how the name came up. And then I was like, what's a better way to reach like a wider audience? Well, this is like back when YouTube was the thing. When YouTube was TikTok, the beginning of the height of YouTube.
For the under 20-year-olds listening.
For you little Gen Zers. It was like when YouTube was like the TikTok of the time, and it had just come out and people were doing parody music videos. And there was no one like doing what I was doing, which was taking all of the pop influences that I loved and putting my little visual video spin on it. It was picked up by Perez Hilton, who's also someone that's before some of your time, but internet blogger of the day, Perez Hilton. And I started to get millions of views for some of my video recreations. And it was just my way of connecting with the community. But I started to feel like it wasn't really representing my authenticity as a person and as an artist. It felt one note. And it felt like if I don't actually say something, or if I don't change or rewrite my narrative, this is all that people are going to remember me for. And I felt like I had so much more to say. I wanted to work on my own music. I wanted to use my own voice. I wanted to be an advocate, you know, as I also discovered throughout that time in my life that I was really in desperate need of transitioning. So it was all transitional, to be honest, but I don't regret it. And I had so much fun doing it. And, you know, you can definitely YouTube Brittany Houston, because she's still on you can still see the videos on YouTube if you want. You can go into a deep dive.
And yeah, you truly want to go on a deep dive into Brittany Houston and into Mila's music videos and her TED Talk and music. I think a lot of people that will listen to this podcast are millennials and Gen Z kids, because this is on iHeart Broadway. And
yeah,
I think it's really hard for a lot of performers right now who don't have an outlet, who don't have, you know, the stage that they had to perform.
It's hard for all of us.
Yeah. Even kids in high school, like, can't even really do their like high school musical.
Can't do school plays and school music. What is this time warp?
What is this? This deck is not do the time warp.
It's literally a Twilight Zone. I know. Yeah. We're going to do the virtual time warp again.
Yeah. But I think it's really, really, I'm very inspired by you being your own artistic director and going from Rent to then saying, okay, now I'm going to create my own music. And the fact that you can also do this TED Talk is important for me to see, because I think so often all of us put ourselves in these boxes, and I've really struggled, especially during this pandemic.
It's meant to be for everyone. It really was. Yeah, no, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to say it was meant to be for everyone. It's highlighting the importance of, you know, trans female like support and discovering your place. But it really is tools for everyone. You know, you don't have to be trans to feel connected to some of the things that I brought up in the TED Talk.
It's deeply forever. I felt so deeply that it was for me and for, I wanted to send it to other people that I know, Black trans people, cis white people, you know, non-binary people. Like it, there's so, it's, I think it's the like goal that we all strive for is to, and what I felt like this TED Talk was saying something so specific from your voice and your point of view, that it was so specific to you that it then became so clear for how everyone else can apply it for themselves. Like,
that's a lesson in talking about things that are really true to your experience. That I was told once that you should tell your story truthfully, because the things you think no one else will get or understand are the things that they actually have experienced as well.
100%.
And that's the way you, that's the, we're trying to fabricate, you know, what people want to hear is not the way to connect.
And what I mean, I think we all somehow subconsciously know that lesson, but so important to reiterate it, because you know,
I should write that down.
Yeah,
trying
write
to fabricate
that down.
The things that people hear is not the way to connect. That's a tweet.
That,
remember that one.
As Oprah would say, that's the aha moment. Yeah, that's like,
that's an aha moment.
That is really so good. And I mean, you end the TED Talk by saying there's value to feeling out of place because it allows you to create your own space. Like, that is, I mean, so...
You know, we have the takeaways of experiences that are really traumatic. They're difficult. They're hard. Nothing is easy. You know, going through being rejected and adversity and picked on and made fun of, and you'll never be this, and you're going to be an ugly woman, and you're going to have to, you know, no one's going to love you. All those things, you know, we're inundated with all that stuff, but it really is, for me, there's a little voice in the back of your head that says, I can. It's the little engine that says, I could. And I think that is the voice that has to be amplified through all of this stuff. So when you can find your ability to grasp that little bitty voice in the back, way in the back, you start to push out all of those other negative things. And as you move forward in your life, you know, it's really about the reaction. We would talk about, like, it's all about how you react to the situation, because there's so many things that can happen to you, but the way that you react to it is really what it comes down to. And if you find that you can be grounded in, I know who I am, I know what I want, I know my purpose, I know what I do and what I don't do. Those things are like your tools. Like, that's your armor. You gotta, like, that's your, how you warrior up. And, you know, you go out and you fight, you know, parents and friends telling you, like, oh, you know, I don't believe in that, or I don't agree with that. And then you're like, but this is my narrative and this is my journey, you know.
Mine, not yours, parents and friends.
Exactly.
And internet commenters. Yeah. Yeah.
And trolls, you know, but you're like, go ignore the trolls.
Ignore the trolls. And I think it's like, if I were listening to this podcast, I'd be like, yes, absolutely. And then how do I get myself to do that? Is a whole,
you know,
other
Beyonce
thing.
Beyonce told Chloe and Halle the advice that I read an article that she told them to, you know, don't go deep diving into the, you know, the comments and what people are saying. You know, and I do want to put a disclaimer. Anyone that comments with love, with you know, joy, and like, you know, you're on for the cause, I thank you. Now, those people who are trolling and actually being negative or hateful, they, you know, sometimes make us miss out on the nice comments. But don't go deep diving into those comments. It'll take you to places you don't need to go.
Do not do it. And I think I think if you're having that feeling that, like I am, where you're like, okay, I want to focus on the positive. I don't want to focus on the negative thing that a friend said to me or such and such said to me. If you are thinking negative things about other people, not even if you're just commenting them, if you're out there and you're commenting negative things online, first of all, you're just contributing to your own misery. That is if you're saying negative things about other people, you're saying
you're adding fuel to your own fire.
Absolutely. And even if just thinking it is going to make you feel paranoid that other people are thinking that shit about you. So if you are thinking those negative thoughts, I highly recommend, this is very like LA woo-woo, but I highly recommend doing 10 minutes of meditation. Just tell yourself, okay, this negative thought is here. I thought that about somebody else, or I thought that about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And now I am going
to
release that.
You know, some people believe talking to yourself is crazy, but I don't think that at all. You have to talk to yourself. Sometimes you need to put yourself in the third person so that you can actually actively show yourself love. Like, try it. You know, when you have that mirror moment, when you're looking at you talking to yourself, I'm all the time being like, Mila, you did that. That was a good one. Good for you. Like, you got to talk to yourself, right?
Yes. It's like, that's like a whole version of feeling yourself, I feel like. It's like, yeah.
I'm feeling myself. Absolutely.
Yes. You did that. to think back on your accomplishments, I think, is such a wonderful way to feel good. Is to be like, instead of thinking about what haven't I done, or what am I trying to get done, or what don't I have, write down a list of all the shit that you have done. Even if it's like, I washed the damn dishes today. And that is something.
And that sometimes in a pandemic is really an accomplishment.
Yes. Yes.
You showered today. Come on, pat yourself.
Come on. you look into the mirror and you're like, you showered today. Mm-hmm. That's right.
You showered today. I'm sure someone's on TikTok saying that right now and they're getting millions of views. Listen, it's the truth.
The truth.
Now someone's going to make a TikTok video of that. You could give me credit. I'll take credit.
quote Mila Jam.
The inspiration. Yeah.
You better tag her. Okay.
Tag me.
Tag her. So, I also saw an interview that you were a theater kid growing up.
Yes.
What was your theater album? Like, what, or albums? What did you listen to?
Hilarious. Well, so I'll tell you a little funny story about the greatest musical of the century, Rent. My relationship to the show was, I was in a youth troupe out of Atlanta. It's called YEA, Youth Ensemble of Atlanta. And at the time, my big brothers in the group were all listening to Rent. And Rent had already been out for years, but I was never aware of like what they were, what it was. So they would always be like, oh, only thing to do is jump over the moon. And I'd be like, over the moon, what is over? Why do you keep saying over the moon, over the moon? And they kept quoting Maureen, and I just never got it. And then one day I was on a road trip with some friends and they were playing the soundtrack to Rent. And then the Maureen's monologue comes out. She starts telling her story and doing her thing. And she's like, last night. And I was like, oh, and I heard, only thing to do is jump over the moon. And I was like, over the moon. Oh my God, this is genius. This is so amazing. Oh my God, no one's ever done anything like this before. This is gonna change Broadway. It's like pop music and rock music on Broadway. And it's just the best thing ever since sliced bread. And then I was hooked. And then of course you learn every song forward and backward. And then I was like, my dream is to be on this, in this play, in this show, in this musical. And, you know, I auditioned and then I got in and I went on tour with it for a few years. And it just was like, it's one thing, like, you know, you're passionate about a piece. Like, maybe you're passionate about Ragtime. Maybe you're passionate about Sweeney Todd or The Lion King or whatever. But like, the thing about Rent for me was, is like, I've always been, you know, a new generation kind of kid. Like, I grew up, for, you know, with the Mickey Mouse Club and Britney Spears and just, and all those, you know, people who are like a part of the pop machine. And I felt like a part of them and I felt like I was one of them. And I just missed my opportunity at that age. And I wanted something that would marry theater and pop. And Rent did that so well for me. And not only did it do that, but it was changing the narrative around AIDS. It was changing the narrative around being queer and around being openly gay. It was changing the narrative around just everyday folks who are like living in a city like New York City, which was always my dream city, and just living their lives. It's not a glamorous story. And the story is about the reality of living, you know, a hard, sort of hard knock life, but the beauty of all of those things coming together, the music, the writing, Jonathan Larson was brilliant. Just all the way that things came together. It's like a never ending, it's like a film in the way it was written. It's just like things keep moving, the transitions. I love it. So I love that musical. It's one of my absolute favorites. I love Aida, the musical. That was one of my favorites. I'm a big fan of The Lion King. I'm actually very close to a lot of Broadway Lion King family. Some of my chosen family are actually parts of the show. One of my best friends is the dance captain of the show. So I've seen the show like 20 times. And I'm best friends with Mufasa and Simba and Nala and all of the people in the show. And so, you know, these are like the pictures of our lives, and Broadway captures such amazing moments because they inspire us, they ignite us, they make us feel alive. There's nothing like the theater, and there's nothing like conveying, you know, a story and storytelling in a live theater setting.
Yeah. And like, ooh, do I miss it? And we're going to get it back for sure. Hopefully sooner rather than later. But you're saying, like, you're just speaking my 16-year-old childhood. Like, I went to Best Buy, I got the Aida album. That was my, like, that was my in as like as a queer kid. Like, I feel like there are so many things for a lot of us that you don't tell people about, that you're like, mm-hmm. Let me keep this hidden so I don't myself. And that was one of them for me. Like, I would like go to school and be like, you guys hear the new Chumbawamba? But then I actually was in my car like, you know, did I lose my dignity? Like, just
dignity.
Like,
yeah. You know, it's funny because my best friend that I share so much love for theater with, we actually do like theater nights, and we'll like watch old videos or old YouTube clips of lots of musicals. Like, I'm obsessed with Betty Buckley. We watch like Carrie is like one of our obsessions, Carrie the musical. Obsessed with just so many random shows. You're in Town was an obsession of mine at one point. Like, actually one of my favorite musicals is Spamalot. And I have always said this, anyone out there, I am dying to play the Lady of the Lake in Spamalot. So
Mila,
let's
they're
make
making
that happen.
It a movie. You need to be the Lady
of the
Lake.
Well, I should be the
movie.
Lady of the Lake.
Okay, I'm saying.
I want to interest in your soul. I'm so excited about that. Whatever happened to my part?
Oh,
it is one
God.
Of my favorite musicals.
Please do that song and put it on YouTube of you.
I should do. I know, right? I actually know Christopher Sieber, and when we did Broadway Bears together, I was like, Chris, I really want to do Spamalot. I want to be the Lady of the Lake. He was like, you should be. And I was like, yes. Will you do it with me?
Yes. Make it happen, Chris.
Make it happen?
Yes. Come on.
But I already have green hair. I should be the Lady of the Lake. Hello.
Yes. Also, You're in Town is my favorite musical of all time. Of all time, of all time.
Really?
Oh my God. It's my favorite. I saw the podcast listeners are like, stop talking about You're in Town too. I saw it when I was 12. And it really blew my mind that you could do, my favorite thing in the world is musical theater. But I am a comedian, and so it blew my mind to watch musical theater be so damn
it's
funny.
It's hysterical.
And then just like the political message of it and how dark it was at the end. I was like, this is
so,
so
dark.
Cool.
I love that dark comedy, that dark humor. Mm-hmm.
And speaking of dark, Carrie the musical, I am listening. Have you heard of the Out for Blood podcast? Shout out to them.
No.
Okay. Mila, you're going to be obsessed with this. It's these two British people sort of doing like documentary style podcasting about what happened with Carrie the musical. And it is fascinating. They talk about.
First of all, can we talk about Debbie Allen's choreography?
Tweeted
these kids
yesterday.
Were literally doing like hitch kick splits. Backflips
Pilates
like,
class.
Were they on?
They were flying
class,
into the air
Pilates.
Into a pyramid. It is the okay. If we were at a summer party, that is the YouTube video I would want to watch.
That's the YouTube video I would want to watch with you.
100%. It is. I just showed it to my boyfriend for the first time because he's like a dancer, and he was like, "What is happening? I was like, I know.
Yeah, it's a masterclass. You study and Darlene Love, yes, Darlene Love. Come on, and now do me a favor. It's so
Tommy Lee. I mean, it is just so good. Lilias White was an understudy in the original production. I did not know that.
Oh my God, do you want to know a story? I have a really quick story for you. Yes, like please. A vault story.
Please.
Okay, Lilias White and I used to be shoe shopping buddies. We would go shoe shopping together. There used to be a store here in New York City called Daffy's. Do you ever hear of Daffy's?
I remember.
Okay, it's like
Daffy's.
A big department store.
Yeah.
Years ago. I would go to Daffy's and I would be like looking around in the shoe department. And one day, like I we know like each other in passing, you know, but like this really solidified like my friendship with Lilias White. We walk around. I'd walk around and then I would see her and I'd be like, oh my God, that's Lilias White. And I think one time she spoke to me and she was like, oh, hey. Because she's like, oh, I've seen you before. And I was like, hey, Mila. She's like, really? I was like, I know, girl. And she was like, do you like the shoe? This is cute, right? It is cute. So then it started to happen, like periodically, I would just go shopping on a whim and I'd run into her in the same shoe department. And we would be shoe shopping buddies. Like it just would be one of these things that would happen out of the blue. We never planned it. We never called each other. And it would just be like, I'm going to go to Daffy's. Maybe I'll bump into Lilias White. Buy shoes together. Yes, girl, get those shoes. Those shoes are cute. It's just one of those great random memories.
I love it. That's such a New York thing of like, there's it's 8 such million a New York people moment. In the world mm-hmm. where you're like, I'll see Lilias yes. at Daffy's for sure if I show
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I just run into the biggest Broadway icons of forever and just.
Of forever. And all, for those of you who are listening, there's so much Lilias White you need to be taking in. It's I don't even know where to begin.
Absolutely.
But you all must watch the Broadway.com interview.
She's just saying, I am changing on a Zoom call with women that were in Dreamgirls from around the world with Seth Rudetsky. And it was amazing. She literally sang the whole song.
She's
I was
unreal.
Like, yes, ma'am.
Her Don't Rain on My Parade is like, I'm un.
Oh, actually, I think it was. Did she sing And I Am Telling You? I think it was And I Am Telling You. Wait.
Damn.
No, I think it was I Am Changing. Either way, she sang.
Either way. And when she sings, she sings. Like, she is
she
not messing around. In the Broadway.com interview from years ago, they asked her about like former roles and they're like, they were like, did you enjoy the experience of Cats? And she goes, hated it. Oh. Hated it. I don't want to talk about Cats. I hate it. It was so funny. It's so good.
You know, they actually interviewed Betty Buckley. There's a good interview of her talking about being in it and like it coming to like the whole actual, like if they knew it was going to be a hit, and she was saying she could tell that it was going to be a big thing. And it was just the beauty of Cats is like Cats is not for everybody. And the movie was awful. But like the movies, like the remake of it with this movie was probably the worst thing we've ever seen in film. However, she was saying she didn't have it down how they wanted her to do Grisabella. She didn't have memory down the way that they really wanted it. And she had to fight and fight and fight with herself to figure out how to relay this message of this fallen glamour cat. And watching her tell the story of like her discovery, she did like, you know, vocal lessons and she did sessions and she did all kinds of different, you know, rehearsals, nothing. It never hit her. And until one night she said she saw this homeless woman that was near where she lived. And there was a moment of an exchange and like, it just hit her in a different way. And when she went in that night, she did it. And it literally was like a revelation on stage. And they were like, oh my God, that's it. I mean, and it's just, it will take your breath away, obviously, but
it really
no one does.
Does
it like her.
No, she
no one does
is...
it like her. So if there's not a reason for you to like Cats, the reason is Betty Buckley. or actually, there's so many different Grisabellas that is reason enough. But
there's
the show
also
in large.
A video out there of Stephanie J. Block doing it at Pittsburgh CLO.
Oh, I love Stephanie.
I mean, she is everything. Yes. And in the middle of the song, she Pratt falls to the floor. And it is
You know, I saw amazing. Leona Lewis do it.
Stop it. I babysat for her understudy. Her understudy is my very good friend, Jess Hendy. And I was babysat her kid for the 2 years she was understudying Leona
really?
Lewis.
Really? Yeah. Yes. So one of my good friends, agents, they and producers, they got her into the show. I'm a very big Leona Lewis fan. I love Leona.
That music.
However,
so
I don't think she's a Grizabel. I don't think she's right for this part. And the history and the aging and the experience of this character, I just didn't think it didn't show with her. But like, I saw her do it. And then I was like, it was such a different experience. It was like very strange. She's an amazing voice, obviously, but it just doesn't connect the way that I need it to. Mm-hmm. Like when an Alice Ripley or like a Betty Buckley, like I need it to pierce.
Yes.
I need to feel it in every bone. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be gritty. Going back to Betty Buckley, so when she replaced Barbara Cook in Carrie, because Barbara Cook did it originally in the UK, on Out for Blood podcast, they say that Barbara Cook was so angry with like the way that it was going. She was just like, it's not working. And it was gonna be her big return to Broadway. She hadn't been on Broadway in like 20 years. And she was like, I need this to be great. And so she rightfully was like, I really want to work on this and make it better. And she apparently is this like grand dame with like huge gestures. And they say that she brings in a huge box for the director during rehearsals. And she goes, darling, I have a present for you. He opens the box. It's a giant axe. And he was like, Barbara, what is this? And she was like, it's for the book, darling.
What? That is cray on another level.
Isn't that wild? All the accounts of it are like, she was so professional. She was showed up on time. She knew her lines. She didn't have a mean bone in her body. She just had a real flair for the dramatic when she was trying to get a message across.
Wow, this is where the wild things are. I love it.
And yeah, if we were at a summer party, we would definitely need to watch.
We definitely watch clips of Carrie. We would definitely watch clips of Aida. Another quick story. I actually just spoke to Adam Pascal. Adam is a good friend that I haven't seen in a very long time. But like, we have a mutual. The Rent family is very tight. Let's just say that we all know each other. And I was telling. Imagine telling Adam Pascal that you were just watching his YouTube videos of him doing Aida in 2000 and hearing him be like, oh, wow, that's a throwback Thursday, if there ever was one. Yeah, I would watch that. We'd watch some of that, you know.
100%.
And I love watching Broadway Bears stuff. I love watching a lot of the Broadway Bears performances. Broadway Bears is like one of my favorite things to do. Like, I think Broadway Bears should be bigger than the Tonys because it's just so much fun. It's sexy and it's fun and everyone lets their hair down and it's tedious.
It's such a blast. Which Broadway Bears have you done? What year?
I did the last three. I was lucky to be one of the lead performers in the last three. The biggest one we did, which is like the piece de resistance for me, was the Stonewall. It was it was the one that we did choreographed by John Alex for Stonewall. This was the anniversary of the Stonewall riots. This is Pride 2019. It was just so beautiful. But I did that one, and the year before that, I did one that was a feature. It was about like Clue, and it was called Let's Play. So it had a very game board theme, and that was so much fun. And that's actually when I talked to Chris Sieber about being the Lady of the Lake. And then before that, the year before that was, I did one choreographed by Kellen Stansel, which is actually my best friend who is the dance captain for Broadway. He choreographed a piece called Queen of the Night. And we did one to Whitney Houston where it was a school themed or like a university. It was called Strip U. And it was a university themed show that year. And, a blast. I always tell them, you can have me whenever you want me.
Yeah.
Let me know.
That's a great song title as well.
I call Jerry Mitchell. I'll be like, Jerry, you can have me whenever you want me. Just let me know.
Broadway Bears is very special to me. Quick story. I went to the one, I don't know if you were performing in this one, but I went to the one that happened a week after Orlando, after the Orlando shootings. And I remember...
Oh, yes.
I remember
I think that was 2018.
Yeah.
That was 2017.
I remember going.
I think it was 2017.
There. I mean, it was literally 6 or 7 days, if that, after the event. And I just remember I was going to wear flip-flops because I loved wearing flip-flops in the summer in New York City. And I remember thinking, oh, shit, I need to put on sneakers in case I have to run. And just being, like, scared out of my fucking mind. And then the show started. And before the show started, I think Jerry came out and said, like, we are all here to, again, like, the theme of this podcast. Like, we are here to celebrate each other and live in our joy because we are here.
I think it was before 2017. I don't think I was in this one, but I definitely remember this energy.
It was so special to me. I was like, yeah, look at all these fucking queer people standing around being unafraid and deciding that we're going to celebrate each other. It's like, absolutely. It's such a special night. I do have to let you go.
Yes.
But before we go, I want to, our final segment of the podcast is called Wait, Let's Have Fun. And in this
segment,
I'm going to play a slumber party game with you.
I'm so excited.
Would you rather, Mila, would you rather know the history of every object you touched or be able to talk to animals?
Oh, I talk to the animals, honey.
Yeah.
I'm Snow White.
Title of I'm Snow White. I need to know what these animals are saying. Because the objects probably have cool, you know, if they've been around for hundreds of years, there's probably cool history, but the animals are really where it's at.
The animals here, I have a Yorkie. She's the cutest little thing. She's sleeping right now. But she, if she could talk, she would probably read me. She'd probably have so many things to say about everything. She'd probably be like, I'm literally up late at night, late hours of the night doing TikToks and stuff. She'd probably be like, girl, go to bed. It's not that serious. I can imagine. The animals have so much to say. I know that they have so many things that they could say.
So much to say. And if we were at a slumber party right now, what movie would you want to watch?
Okay, so one of my favorite movies of all time is Jackie's Back. And for a lot of you kids out there that don't know, this is a mockumentary by Jennifer Lewis. You might know her as the grandma on Blackish. But Jennifer Lewis is like the legend gem of Hollywood. She's like the Black Hollywood mother. She's the Black Hollywood grandmother. She's a gem of Broadway. I adore this woman. She's family to me. I'm close to her. And actually Shangela is her family, her chosen family. So I love me some Jennifer Lewis. But this movie, Jackie's Back, is so crazy funny because it features like over 50 huge A-list celebrities. Tim Curry, you know, Liza Minnelli's in it. The list goes on and on. Bette Midler's in it. It's just so much fun, and it's campy and it's over the top. And I could quote so many parts of it, and I won't bore you with all of that, but I would say Jackie's Back.
That is such a great answer. I'm obsessed with Jennifer Lewis, and I've never seen that movie. And I need to watch that tonight. I know. Everyone listening,
I am literally doing the Home Alone face. I am Kevin, and I'm like, OMG, please watch that ASAP. It is Black History Month as well. So get into that for Black History Month. And March is Women's Month. So you have time to get on top of it.
You have time to celebrate. And I honestly,
celebrate.
If you don't know who Jennifer Lewis is, you need to just type into podcast network Jennifer Lewis. Every interview she's ever done is the funniest thing you'll ever hear in your life.
She's genius, hysterical, so amazing. Her book is fabulous. I love Jennifer.
She's fantastic. We have to let you go, but where can the people follow you if they want to follow you?
You can follow me around my neighborhood if you know where I live. No, I'm joking. Please don't joke.
Please do
but
not.
But if you just say
me,
you can say hi. No, you can find me on Instagram at the Mila Jam. You can find me on Facebook at the Mila Jam, Twitter at the Mila Jam. It's all at the Mila Jam. Also, please stream all of the songs, Mila Jam, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music. I'll tell you a little secret. My new EP drops next Friday, February 26th. So you definitely want to get it. It's titled Pretty One, and it's going to change so many things.
That
it's taking pop, atmospheric pop music to the next level.
I cannot wait. This will come out the Wednesday before that, 2 days before that. So everyone listening, make sure you stream it on Friday and download it.
Stream.
Also, if you want to look into, for the 2 days that you're waiting, if you want to look into Mila's other music, I highly recommend Bruised. It's become my new absolute favorite song. Mila, thank you so much for joining us. This was such a blast.
This was so much fun. I could talk to you about theater stuff for hours. We will have to reconnect on that because I love theater. I love theater history. And thank you for having me.
Yes, we'd love to have you back anytime. And listeners, you can follow me at TMurray06 and make sure you're subscribed to this channel on iHeartRadio Broadway Network. All right. Thanks, everyone. Bye.